podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
My dog? There's my dog. There's my dog.
So, buddy, how do you feel?
How do you feel?
Uh-huh.
And why'd you run away?
Uh-huh.
Because there was thunder.
And did you miss me? Look at you. Your eyes are all red. Man, you got to rack out. We got to get you a towel. How was that thunderstorm? You probably did 26 miles without me. At full speed. Looks like a drowned rat. But he knows his way around the woods.
Sweetie pie.
Thanks for coming home, buddy. We missed you. Get some sleep, because we got to run 30 in the morning.
I hate running.
All right.
Why am I on your podcast if I hate running?
See, this would be the excellent counterpoint, juxtaposition. Haven't you studied literature?
No.
Where you have the... What's that person called? The hero and the...
Protagonist.
Yeah, there you go. antagonist and protagonist. You would be the antagonist in this
role. I learned about that in fourth grade.
There you go.
So, it's me and what do you want your show name to be? Because we can't use your real name. Your mother will get mad at us.
Okay.
You don't care?
I know what you would think up, though. So.
What would I think up?
I don't know. Something bad.
Well, you think on that, youngster. It's me here and the youngster and the fur boy. And we're down the track because the youngster has to do what?
In Triple B, it's sprint workout.
For why?
Field hockey.
Field hockey. All right.
Yeah.
So, your first year in high school?
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to do that. Hi. She's got the little sheet of paper, too.
Yep.
Everybody's getting ready for their fall season.
Hi.
Buddy's watering the everything in sight. Buddy's a little crazy on the track because that's the highway in the background. This is one of the oldest... one of the oldest metric tracks in the United States. This track.
Maybe we should get a new one.
Yeah, you think? That'll be one of my next crusades to fund up.
Old school, new school, old track, new track.
Yeah, so this...
The track team would love you.
I believe this track is as old as I am. And the fact that it's as old as I am, and it's a metric track...
And it's very old.
is amazing. So... Because when I first started running here, I figured it was an English track. Oop. People's.
Yeah.
And because it was so old. And then I realized it was a metric track. So that's pretty cool. A lot of people down working out tonight.
Yep.
Doug, you're not pooping in the infield. If you got to do that, do it over here. All right. So, anyhow. This track is... How far around?
About a quarter mile.
About a quarter mile. It's 400 meters. So, what is it halfway around?
Halfway around for 200?
200 meters, yeah, or about 0.2 miles. And then quarter of the way around. So, just the straightaway or just the corner is 100 meters, not yards, meters. And all these various lines and stuff on the track are for track and field events.
Indeed.
So the little hash marks that you see sometimes, see these little hash marks?
Yeah.
Those are for the hurdles. That's where they put the hurdles. I never did track and field, so I don't really know what most of these marks are for. And then the little red triangles are sort of for starting points for different events.
Yeah.
And you can see the numbers on some of these, like the 300, the 100.
Yeah.
So, okay, see that 1500 line?
Yeah.
That's the mile mark. Right? So if you run the track, that's how much more you got to run. You got to run an extra, like, 50 yards to get a mile out of your metro track. So anyhow, that's...
Just make us run for laps around Indian.
Right, so this, I've done probably 3 or 4 trips around the world down at this track in my marathon training. I get a lot of history here. I like this track. I come down here at night. Got a lot of stories about this track.
I like this track too, because it's near the school, but then it isn't.
Yeah, it's near the elementary school when you were so...
No, we come down here for gym.
Young and cute.
We come down here for gym in the spring.
Now, we got the little boys playing soccer here tonight, and Buddy just has this thing about soccer balls. What's our workout we're going to do today?
100 yards in 20 seconds, just one, with a 40-second rest. And then 75 yards, 2 of those, 15 seconds with 30-second rest in between. And then 50 yards in 10 seconds with 20-second rest, and we do 6 of those.
Okay.
And then 75 yards again, 15 in... with 30-minute rest.
30-second rest.
For 30 seconds, and then...
We'd never get home if we did 15 with 30-minute rest.
We would be very rested.
We would.
And we do 2 of those again, and then another 100 yards, 20 and 40, and then we do 10 yards in 3 seconds with 5-second rest.
Okay. And we'll see if Buddy can do that. And when he gets tired, he gets better. So we'll do with the hundreds first.
No, you have to do it in that order.
Oh, what do we do first?
It's 100, one of those.
Yeah, so we do the 100 first.
Yeah, 100 first.
Okay.
You said 100 in that one.
No. So we got 100 we have to do.
Yeah, and then 235.
So this is just called an interval. So it looks a bit like a pyramid.
Yeah, this is the pyramid, though.
Okay.
It's
well,
like
let's
backwards here.
We're going to have to estimate some of the distances. Sorry. Buddy just went to take out another runner. Good boy.
And there's another dog.
There's another dog. That's one of those sniffer poodles or whatever they are. Those strange.
Or not snickerdoodles.
Yeah. All right. So
labradoodles.
So we'll do our workout now. All right. So we're gonna do it.
And now for the equipment check.
So since this is the all-girl episode of the podcast, except for me, of course, and we lost our dog, so we're kind of upset about that. He ran away in the thunderstorm. Are you upset about that?
Yes.
Very good. The other daughter here is going to give us a tip, an equipment tip. So you had an equipment tip for me, something about shorts?
Yeah, Under Armour shorts, under your shorts.
What kind of shorts?
Like short shorts.
Like compression shorts?
Compression
shorts? And why do I want to wear those?
So you don't chafe.
So I don't
chafe. And you don't have to be all goopy and stuff.
I don't have to put the goop on?
It's really gross.
I like the goop.
It makes my hands all, like, water resistant, and it's really disgusting.
Okay, so get the Under Armour compression shorts to wear underneath your short shorts?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good tip.
And now for our featured interview.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, we're back. So your allergies are bad today, huh?
Yeah. I hopefully will be able to get out for a good run this afternoon.
Are you going running this afternoon?
What?
You going out this afternoon? What do you got on the plan for this afternoon?
I think a nice little 5 or 6 miler. Be good.
You want to go out and do 12 with me?
12. Hey, why not? Slack this week, so I have some couple days to make up, I think.
Now, do you find that the running helps the allergies or hurts them?
I've had, like, inhalers that I've had to take in the past because my breathing has just gotten really bad, but as years progressed, it's sort of gotten a little bit better, and it actually kind of helps me when I go out and just sort of, it sort of cleanses the system, I think.
Yeah, I found it's one way or the other, right? Either you come back feeling worse, I mean, you always feel better right after the run, obviously.
Yeah.
But it either makes the cold worse or it cures you.
Yeah.
So I guess it would depend on what kind of cold you have.
Yeah, usually, I think below the neck you don't go out, or is it the other way around? You don't want it. I think if there's some rule that you have. If it's above the head, if it's above the shoulders, you don't go out. I think it's like a high fever or anything like that, you don't go out running. But if it's below then in your body, you can go out and you'll be fine pretty much.
I always kind of thought that, you know, your natural defense of your body is to raise the temperature of your body to kill off the viruses that are very sensitive to temperature ranges, right?
Yeah.
And I always figured that going out running does the same thing, right? It raises the temperature of your body, and I always thought it might sort of be the same thing as a induced temperature, but I have no clinical facts on any of this.
Yeah, the problem with me sometimes is when I'm not feeling good, it's like actually just getting out the door to go running. I just feel like I want to sort of lay on the couch. But usually if I do get out the door and go running, I do feel better in the end after it all. You know, it's just getting out that door. That first step is hard.
So I'm so happy to have you come on and talk to me because, Helena, I realized when I started talking to all the people here on the show that I don't know all that many women.
Yeah.
I think it's a deficit in my life. And I don't know, maybe that's something with the demographics of the runners, is that it's more guys than women in the local sort of running scene, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
From an all-girls school, I know a lot of girls runners, but it's different out here. I haven't really run into any good running partners that are females or really anyone. Besides from the Squanicook runners, I haven't really run into anyone.
And it's strange because you're a real good runner, so I would guess that would be harder for you to find people to run with. You know, there's probably not that many fast women runners around. You know, just percentage wise in terms of, you know, men about the same paces as you.
Yeah, I mean that's probably why I joined the group, because I'm trying to find that, you know, that group wise. It's been difficult. I think I really need to find a partner, though, sort of my pace, you know, someone I can sort of relate to actually get me more motivated with running, too, because right now I'm just sort of floating around and not really signing up for any races and kind of somebody that don't go out for runs just because, I don't know, I get distracted. I need someone else sort of to motivate me, I think.
Right, well, you're from a program, so you're probably used to having the the program to rely on to tell you what you need to do and when, right?
Yeah, it's hard because ever since I started, which was like ninth grade outdoor track, I've had a coach and I've had a team to deal with, and they always give me sort of a schedule of what you need to do for that week or whatever. And you know, I've graduated college now, and I don't have that anymore. I don't have a coach. I don't have a team, so I'm on my own, and it's kind of scary. I'm really scared to take that sort of first step and sign up for a race. I haven't done that yet.
Well, that's the first thing you gotta do is sign up for a race.
I know. I keep flirting with the idea.
Well, because at your speed, you probably win anyhow. So maybe you can be a professional runner. You can go to all these little local 5Ks and 10Ks and bring home the $100 checks.
Well, I don't know. I'm sort of scared because I'm doing my own training now, and I'm afraid that I'll actually go to a race and I'll go out like I normally do, and then I'll get halfway through and I'll just die. So I have this like fear in the back of my mind that even though I'm doing, you know, pretty well with my training, I'm doing track workouts and fartleks and whatever, I still am very nervous about it.
That's interesting. That's interesting that you'd be nervous about that because you're such a good runner and you know what you're doing. You know, you've been doing it. You just got out of college, but you, like you said, you've been doing it for structured running program for what, 10, 12 years, right?
Yeah, something like that.
you ran in high school, right? On cross country or track or both?
Up until started ninth grade outdoor track, and then I went on to cross country. I didn't do indoor track until my senior year, but pretty much every year I did cross country and a combination of outdoor track. And I think my first season I wasn't actually able to finish like 3 miles without actually like walking.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But I got into it. I stuck with it. I had some pretty bad shin splint problems pretty much my entire high school career. After I graduated, they went away.
Was that just, you think, because your body was still growing, or was it I think when we talked about this before, you suspect your coach might have not been doing the right thing for you.
Well, I think I rushed into it pretty quickly, and I wanted to stay. There were people on my team that were my age level, and I wanted to stay up with them, but they've been doing it for, you know, 4 years before I started. And
right.
So they were a much greater level than I was, and I had these bad, like, cross-training shoes that were just horrible for my feet, and I really needed orthotics as well. I didn't get orthotics until, like, a year later from that point. And
I had shin splints, too, when I was, like, your age, I had shin splints, and it was from running in crappy shoes and doing too much too fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I figured out that if you get those Dixie cups, those paper cups, and you put water in and freeze them, and then you rub them up and down your shin, the combination of sort of massaging them and the ice really stimulates the heel faster, I guess, and after I learned that trick, everything got a lot better, and I could actually, like, run without, you know, crying for pain, you know.
Yeah, I can remember wrapping my lower legs in ace bandages before races,
yeah.
You know, just keep the compression on them because the shin splints hurt so much. And I guess what it is your muscles sort of overpower your connective tissue and tear the connective tissue off your shins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an overused thing. It's actually too much too fast because your muscles respond to the stress of running a lot faster than your connective tissue, and they tend to, you know, it takes a couple of months for your tendons and your and that other stuff to get used to running, you know. And
yeah.
It's not a lot of blood flow in the shins right there. It's like the Achilles. There's not a lot of blood flow there, so it's hard for them to heal once they get irritated.
Yeah, and for women, we have worse circulation in our feet, so I think it's probably worse off for us.
There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So.
And down the road, I guess I probably got my stress fractures from the fact that I had so many shin splint problems. I guess it's sort of a, you know, if you get, they come hand in hand. So I got stress fractures after that, and that was fun.
Yeah, so our buddy Anthony is riding a 100-mile bike race today.
Wow. Did he go to the hospital and get the scan done?
Yeah, it wasn't, I forget what he said, it wasn't as bad as he thought. It wasn't anything bad, like really bad, like structurally bad, but it was something where he has to lay off the running a little bit. But you know how Anthony is, he won't.
Yeah.
So it said he's biking 100 miles, right?
Well, he's in good biking shape now. Why give that up?
Yeah, he's a little guy, too, though, so he should be able to take the pounding.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I had a pretty bad fall last week biking, and I haven't been able to get back on my bike yet.
What happened?
Well, I went to North Carolina with my boyfriend, and we went for an evening ride, and it was getting dark at one point, and we turned back to turned around to go back, and he was in front of me, and we were drafting a little bit, and I didn't like it, so we tried to stop that, and I backed off a little bit and went to the side of him. Well, there were some pedestrians coming up, and he didn't tell me that he was going to, you know, get out of the way. There's pedestrians, and I couldn't see him because he was right on that side. And
right.
So he swerved and hit my front tire and just took it out, and I just went forward and just slid on the pavement. And the worst part of it was that the pedestrians, they didn't even stop. I was walking on the road, you know, bleeding, swearing horribly. You know, my whole right side of me was just torn up, and they just kept walking by, and they didn't say anything.
So you got a bad case of road rash.
Yeah. And it was right our first day of vacation, so the ocean didn't feel very good for the whole week.
It was probably good for it, though, get a little salt water in there.
It was good for it, but it burned a lot.
So I'm talking to you on my cell phone. I'm walking around my garden. My garden got away from me. The weeds are like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
I got some tomatoes, though, so we'll eat those. Yeah, I was gonna go run 30 miles this morning, but I got up and it was still, like, sort of soaking wet.
Yeah.
And I had a rough week, too. You can tell, by the way, I was screwing up my appointments that my brain wasn't working.
Yeah.
You weren't the only one I was screwing up appointments with.
It happened.
But, so I bailed on the 30-miler this morning, so I think I'll pick up, I'd like to do, like I said, around, you know, 2 hours, 12 miles sometime today. Ooh, weather got nice. It's nice and hot.
Yeah. It's too hard to go running now, though.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain later, though. It's supposed to get thunderstorms again.
Oh, no. I was supposed to go running yesterday, and then the thunderstorm happened, and I just sort of gave up. So
I think are you planning to go out to Mark's tomorrow for that thing?
I don't know. I'm nervous about the bike still. And
yeah, I was thinking about just going up for the food, just doing the run part of it.
Skip the rest of it, yeah. It doesn't look like anyone signed up for it, though. I don't know, to bring food, so I have no idea if it's going on.
Yeah, he kind of gave us a little late notice. This is still vacation time. A lot of people aren't around.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you ran in college. You were on the college, what, the track team or the cross-country team or both?
All three, indoor track, outdoor track, and cross-country.
And what were your specialties?
Well, the cross-country is the 5K, you know, standard.
Right.
And then
yeah.
Indoor track, kind of wherever they sort of wanted me. I was mid-distance athlete, but, you know, I could go down to was it 300, you know, 400, 1,000 a mile, 1,500, maybe a 3K, you know,
yeah.
Somewhere around there. Fun, you know, sort of fun, not too short, but, you know, long enough, but they're quick, you know. I like that.
Yeah.
I like racing, the fight to the finish. I don't like sort of just, you know, going out there and just running around for hours, you know.
You'll grow out of it. You'll grow out of that.
Yeah.
It's a natural progression. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your best 5K time?
Well, I think my best during my 6K this season. Actually, this season started out with, this past season in the fall, started out kind of weird. I had Lyme disease and I couldn't train all summer, so I went in and I had like the worst first race ever in my like entire college career because I was
yeah.
just so out of shape. And so the whole season I was just trying to get back in shape. And our last race, you know, I was finally getting up there and I finished first in the team. And in my 6K race, the final race of the season is a 6K.
Yeah.
And my 5K time was somewhere around 1850, 19 minutes within my 6K.
Great.
You know, it's
great.
Pretty decent. The 5K was always tough for me. I always just kind of hung on to the person in front of me until I could just kick it in at the end.
Yeah, well, long. I mean, yeah, those kind of times will put you in the top 10 in any local 5K, you know, men, women, whatever. Right? Running 6-minute miles, that'll definitely put you up there.
Yeah. I think I can definitely do a lot better now if I do, like, consistent training. And I never did high mileage. I don't think my mileage ever got above, like, 35 miles a week. So I can, you know, nothing impressive. You definitely taught me there. So if I get my mileage up and I do a lot more you know, smart training, I think I'll definitely
yeah,
get my times down.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the old high mileage thing, it depends on how far you want to take it. I mean, definitely the elite competitors always have high mileage, but, you
yeah.
know, quality is more important than quantity in all this
yeah.
stuff. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of miles just because that's the kind of race I'm targeting, right? I'm targeting a 50-mile race, so I got to spend all that time on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
But for shorter distances, you can do just quality. You know, it's speed work and the tempo.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to bump up. I think I want to try to do a 10K or something, maybe a little
sure.
longer. My mom was a marathoner, and I maybe want to work up to that distance in the future, but I don't know quite yet if I want to do that.
So what decade was your mom a marathoner in?
Oh, God, I don't she started when she was, what, 30 or something, late 20s. So that was, what, like 20 years ago?
So the 80s, maybe?
Yeah. Something like that.
That's when it first started.
So yeah, she was really good. I always grew up looking at her medals and trophies, and you know, there's these great pictures and that we have around the house, and you know, that's kind of what got me running is looking at all these things and saying that's really neat. She's really strong. I kind of want to get some trophies of my own, but I realized it took a lot to get to that point. You know, to actually win things. But I stuck with it just because I like how it made me feel, and I like racing, you know, just...
Well, I think that's cool with your generation. You know, my generation, the women of my generation really didn't have those kind of advantages. You know, there was no competitive in sports, basically, you know, for kids my age.
Yeah.
But my kids, you know, all the girls are all in sports, and they're all doing stuff, so I think... You know, I think it's going to be a lot better going forward. You're going to see a lot more high-quality women athletes.
Yeah.
And that's great. People lead by example.
Yeah, my high school team has definitely gotten a lot stronger since the past couple of years, which is great because the kids are still, you know, pretty young, but they're running a lot faster than we were when I was in high school, which is weird because it was only a couple of years ago, you know.
Yeah, you come from that's a strong program over there. I'm always surprised how strong the local programs are.
Yeah.
Like Groton's got a great strong program. Your program was over in Harvard, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean that's a real strong program too. And these are little towns.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, there's a ton of driving through these towns. You wouldn't expect there to be a lot of, you know, strong athletes because they're just tiny little towns.
I know. Our high school was the high school of Lynn Jennings too.
Yep.
It's been for a while like that. I don't know. I think it's the hills actually. You know, if you run those hills well, you're golden.
Yeah, you can't get to school without going up a couple hills at Harvard.
I know, really. our workout's real tough.
Yeah. So, hey, the women's marathon is tonight on the Olympics.
Oh, really?
I think it's at like 7 or 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad. I liked watching the swimming, but I really didn't have an idea of like what they were actually doing and like what it actually meant. So I'm happy that the track events are starting because I can actually relate to that better. I know the time. You know, they're a lot faster than I could ever dream of being, but it's still something I can, you know, understand.
Yeah, and having spent some time in the pool, you know, for my triathlon stuff, the swimming's pretty amazing. It's just amazing that they can go that fast. And they're beating those world records by like a second and a half.
Yeah.
And a second and a half is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because in swimming, you can't just try harder and go faster. You have to have technique because of the resistance of the water. It's not like running. You can't just train more and get faster. It's all technique and body shape. So
I mean, I think it translates to running, too. You also have to have good technique and everything, too. I mean, we have drills that sort of focus on that to help straighten the way you, just your angle of your leg and how you come up and the power you push off the ground with. I think that's important, too. But
you know, yeah, you're right. You're right. Because you see a lot of people who start running and they're always going to be 9-minute milers because that's just the mechanics that they have.
Yeah.
You know, if they took some time back and went down the track and focused on, you know, their mechanics on the pace and the, you know, just the mechanics of their legs, they could probably take, you know, 2.5 minutes off their mile pace.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you're right. A little education there, huh? What you planning on not doing any races this fall? You got to sign up for one.
Well, there's one, there's a 6K, I think, in 2 weeks or a week and a half or something like that that's coming up. And I almost signed up for it like a month ago. I entered all the information, but I just didn't send it, and I'm on the edge.
Kicking doubt, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you can come down October. We got the Groton Town Forest race we're running. That's got a 5K leg in it.
It does?
Yeah, it's not 5K. It's 3.3 or something.
Oh.
It's close to 5K. But it's a challenge. And you do trails?
Yes, yeah. I mean, cross country, they try to throw those in, but some of the courses, you know, they're really just roads. But,
right.
Yeah, I like them. They're better on my legs. I don't feel the, you know, pounding as much afterwards, you know.
That's one of my favorite trail races is the Groton Town Forest Run. You should come over. We do that race. That's a part of our club.
When is that?
Well, I don't know. I think it's the second week in October.
Oh, that's a
but
while
that's too far. Yeah, it's too far away. You gotta go sign up. I don't know. There's a lot of those weekly 5K series around here. There's one over at Devon's. There's one in Lowell, and there's one in Westford. I don't know if they finished already, but during the summer they have those weekly race series.
Yeah,
and that's
kind of
cool because you can, instead of doing like a tempo workout on that night, you can just go run the race, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good substitute.
That's true.
Fits right into your training.
Yeah.
So what's the major difference between being a female athlete in college and the male counterparts? I mean, what's the difference?
It's hard to say because I went to an all female school, so I didn't really get that male part of it, but I definitely missed it. I don't know. I was always very focused on, you know, my academics and training and everything and didn't really get out much. And and I've really experienced the college life too much.
But in terms of the athletics, are there different pressures on you guys as opposed to, you know, what a guy would do, would feel?
No.
You think it's about the same?
It depends on your team, really. I mean, my team was, it's all female, so it's sort of this closer, sort of family-like setting. And we're Division III, so it's not as, you know, tough. I'm sure if you go to, like, a higher division, you know, things are different. I've dated someone that was a runner at Division II in Bentley, and, I mean, he had to deal with a lot of, you know, there was a lot more partying going on, and there was a lot more, you know, pressure to win certain events and, you know, be the top, you know, seven. But I guess we had that, too, when, you know, in my team. I never really had to worry about it too much. I kind of just made it into the top seven, but I think...
What's your best running story?
Oh, God. You know, I was listening to this on a podcast, and I was trying to think of my own.
Well, it can't possibly be as good as Anthony's, right?
No, I couldn't really come up with any, because his is just really good. I haven't gone running in my underwear, you know, lately.
Not on purpose, anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one, you know, from our team, you know, my first week at college. Week before I went to college, we have a preseason where we go and we do team activities and
sure.
bomb the team and do some training and everything. And our team wanted to go climb this sort of ridge, part of the ridge near the notch between Mount Holyoke College and Amherst College.
Right.
And so our coach told us, you know, it's about a 40-minute hike, you know, maybe 30 minutes. Several false summits, but you'll know it when you get there. And so our team went off, and me and my friend, who was from New Hampshire and climbed Mount Washington a couple of times, and, you know, I was pretty athletic, we just got ahead of the group, and we kept going and going and going for, you know, I don't know, it turned out to be like 3 hours. And we ended up, I guess, almost hiking the entire ridge, and they sent out, like, heat-seeking helicopters to find us, and it was... dark by the time we got back, and everyone was worried, and they didn't actually realize we were gone until they had left, and someone was like, hey, where are those 2 first years that, and everyone looked at their, like, digital cameras, and they saw that we were missing from the pictures, never actually made it to the, you know, the summit, and they realized later, and they came back, you know, and eventually we found, you know, everyone found each other, and it was fine, but it was pretty scary first week before college.
Did you think you were lost?
Well, we figured, you know, we've hiked mountains before, and we figured, you know, a summit is this top, you know, peak. It's really, you know, a definitive place, and, you know, we never saw it, and we just figured, you know, it must be around, it must be, you know, a little further ahead. And we kept counting these possible, like, peaks, these are false summits, and we got up to, like, 20 or something, and none of them really looked like it. But after about 3 hours, we figured, you know, hey, we're probably a little too far. We couldn't see anyone, so.
Well, so if you were listening, you know my other good question, right, which is the why do you run question.
Yeah. I like the racing part of it, even though I can't even sign up for a race right now, but I love racing. I love, you know, that fight to the finish where you're, you know, halfway done, you know, in a race, and you maybe have a mile left or 400 left, and you just pick it up a little more, and then you pick it up a little more, and then you see that finish line, and you just let it all go, and you drain, like, every last drop, and you squeeze it all out, and you just let your legs go, and you know, I love that feeling, and it hurts so much. I mean, if you do it right, it's supposed to hurt, I guess, but it's a good hurt. And, you know, then you get to the past the finish line, and you're done, and you get to look back and see what you accomplished. And, you know, I really love that part of it. And plus, it just makes you feel good.
Why do you think you're afraid to sign up?
I don't know. I think I'm afraid that I'll do badly.
Yeah,
I'm used to doing pretty well and, you know, getting good times and always improving. And, you know, I've had a coach to sort of, like, you know, help me keep on track, even though I sometimes didn't train. And I'll do preseason training that well, but
Well, we all give you our permission to go run a race and not win.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I, you know, even if I don't win, it's like my time's bad and I feel like it was not good.
That's okay. we give you our permission to do that.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you have to improve somehow, and
right,
racing is going to help me.
You're never gonna get better, or you're never going to get over it until you sign up and do it, right?
Yeah.
first step is the most important one.
That's
Plus,
true.
Don't put so much pressure on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
It's actually quite liberating when you get a little bit older and you say, okay, I've run my fastest times, now I got nothing to worry about, I just pick the stuff that I'm going to have fun at.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's great. That's awesome. I'm so glad you talked. See, that was 25 minutes. 26, actually, now. Look at that. More than that. That's great. So you want to go run this afternoon?
I wouldn't mind, yeah. Actually, you'd probably get me out, because I'm still in my running clothes, but I'm like, I don't really want to go. But, actually,
yeah,
that makes two of us.
I slept through my run this morning, too. But I'm feeling pretty strong, so I'd like to go running.
Okay.
Where? Maybe the rail trail?
My only problem with the rail trail, it's not too exciting. It's just flat.
No, it's boring. It's boring. I'm trying to think of a 12-mile loop, though.
I know a 6-mile loop.
Yeah, I know a bunch of 6-mile loops.
So we can do twice.
Is it roads or trails?
It's roads.
Yeah.
It's in Harvard. A lot of my runs are in Harvard.
All right. I could be talked into that. Where does it start from?
The general store in Harvard. It goes sort of around the pond.
Okay.
But it's pretty hilly. I mean, every run in Harvard's hilly, though.
We like hills.
If you give me, I can probably map out a 12-mile or one.
All right. Well, we're not going to go run right now because it's too hot right now. So.
That's true.
You say like around, I don't know, 3 or 4. Well, whatever time that is. Probably like 4 o'clock it's going to start getting warm, cooler.
Yeah.
So.
I live by the runs in Harvard. I don't know, those hills, even though they hurt, they still, I don't know, they make things interesting and... They make me stronger, I guess, so I like
them. There's always something about your home course that gives you strength.
Yeah.
You know, something that you're used to. It's very comforting.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know, in air, I don't really know air that well. And that one time I got that cigarette thrown at me and it thins my shorts, I haven't been able to really like going exploring in air.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I never have that. This is a definite difference here, is that I'm never afraid of my life. Running in the dark in the roads.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to, I'm assuming nobody's going to have any interest in picking on a 200-pound, you know, old guy, so.
And I get some scares once in a while. Keeps me on my toes, though, but.
You can outrun them.
I hope so, but if they pick me at the wrong time where I'm, like, finishing a fartlek or something, and I don't know.
Well, if I go running with you, you're going to take it easy on me, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I can't take the dog. The dog went out and got lost in a thunderstorm last night. Went out and hurt himself, cut his foot.
Oh, no.
But at least he came home.
Yeah. Actually, my cat is missing, which is funny. No, no.
Uh-oh. Could be those coyotes again.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, he's usually pretty smart about everything. He always comes back, and he didn't come for breakfast, though, so I don't know. Hopefully,
oh, well.
Hopefully, then he'll be okay. He'll come back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on and talking with us.
Yep, no problem.
And we'll give me a call or shoot me an email, and we'll head out for a run if you're up for it.
Okay.
I can meet you over there.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Well, I think Buddy thought it was hard. Look at him. His tongue's dragging on the ground. He's not used to this speed work. Running with me, he hardly ever sees any speed work. Oh, you'd like some water, wouldn't you? Well, maybe you should grow thumbs. So you can fill up your own water bottle instead of sharing from mine. Yeah.
You know you love me, Daddy.
You're a good boy.
Drink it best.
I love the way you let that cocker poodle beat the crap out of you just then. You're a real
labradoodle.
Labradoodle, you're a real hero, Doug. All right, let's jog a lap and walk a lap because this isn't enough exercise for me.
Easy.
Yeah, cough it up, dude.
He's gonna eat some grass.
He's gonna eat some grass. That'll fix everything.
Come on, Boo.
When in doubt, eat some grass. Come on, Boo.
Wait, hang on.
You gonna take your watch off, Buddy? Buddy, coyote. They've got the cutout coyotes on the field to keep the geese away. And first time we came down here with Buddy, and the cutout coyote was here, he freaked. He was running around the thing, barking at it. So it's interesting how they have sort of that sixth sense.
But now that he knows it's a fake, he doesn't even look at it.
Even the geese know it's a fake.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the geese could care less. So we'll jog a lap at your pace. At your pace, not at my pace.
This is slower than my pace. But
okay.
Well.
Your hamstring hurts?
Yeah.
Or your shoestring hurts?
No, my hamstring.
Oh, okay. So are we going to be able to make any of the soccer games?
I don't know. Maybe. Because usually, like Katie said, that the games are usually at like 12 and it's away days. We probably won't make it. But maybe it's a home game for my team to make.
You'll probably make varsity, knowing you.
I don't know. It's a big competition.
Hey, Dobbs, come on back. Don't go over there.
Don't go visit Dan. Dan was right there.
Dan was over there, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, but you were on junior varsity last year as a... As what, a second grader? What, were you second? How old are you, eight?
Eighth grader, and I'm almost 14.
So you have a birthday coming up?
Saturday?
No kidding. Are we having a party?
I was thinking about it.
What do you want for your birthday?
Well, I just want to have all my friends over my house. Because it's low maintenance.
Have a party?
Yeah, just have everybody over and we can, like, sit in a circle on the lawn.
Sit in a circle on the lawn? Sounds like 1972.
Not a drug circle.
Put some flowers in your hair, you'd be all set. You'd be like Haight Ashbury.
No, we'd probably be eating lots. Since some of my friends are guys. 2 out of 3 of my guy friends are fat. But I love them anyway.
Should we get them out running?
No. I only know of, like, me and Lisa that would actually maybe tolerate running when there's, like, nobody else around.
Is Alicia going to play soccer this year?
I don't know. How do you ask her?
That,
what's her name?
Our old rec team,
yeah.
That's going to have Sarah Balboni's mom or dad is going to be the coach.
Yeah.
So, they're in for a big surprise. The first-year coach surprise. The big thing with being a first-year coach is you actually think you can you can do something with the kids.
But then they just sit around.
And then you realize that with a bunch of 14-year-old girls, you can have very little influence.
Yeah.
Like a big cloud. You just have to, it's like chaos. You try to move the cloud. There can be no discrete influence. All right, hey, we jogged a lap. Now we walk. I see you have your Groton Road Race t-shirt on.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Got a house full of those.
I have like 3 of these ones and then like 2 of the new ones.
Yeah, because I think...
And like 20 of the old ones.
Yeah, the old one was the year it rained, so we ended up with a ton of extra shirts.
I love the rain. It was awesome.
And we ended up shipping a bunch of... What was that?
What?
Who were you pointing at?
You.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember when, the year it rained, I was running 2K and it rained also?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, and you ran the 5K this year, right?
Yeah, and last year.
Last year.
Actually, this year was a good time for my friend.
Yeah, well, you're getting faster.
27:33.
What's your favorite sport?
I don't know.
How do you rank them? This is something we do in Western society. We can't just say we love them all. We have to rank them.
But I like them all.
All right. So, I'll tell you a story about running when I used to come down to this track. I used to come back from my business trip to back from work, and I go into your room. He decided not to do this lap with us. Buddy! Come on, bud!
Buddy!
Let's go, bud!
Come on!
Come on, bud!
Run! Run!
He decided he was going to sit this lap out.
He's cutting across the field.
He's cheating. He's beating us halfway. So anyhow, I remember one time going...
Uh-oh, he's going to rush me.
Buddy, come on, bud!
Right.
Go, bud! So, I remember going into your room when you were a kid, little kid, and saying, hey, Teresa, good night. And you said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going down the track. I got to work out. Back when I was serious about marathoning. And you said... Daddy, all you ever do is work and run.
Which you still do.
So, you kids, you know how to put a knife right in the heart. So, good stuff.
He's just
laying there waiting for us. He doesn't like the sprinting. Tell ya, I know how to get him now. So, daughter, code name Scarlet Manatee. Manatee?
Manatee.
Manatee. So anyhow.
Sort of animal.
It's some sort of animal.
It's an aquatic.
It's a sea cow.
Yeah.
Seek out. That'll make a good rock
Seek
band.
Seek out Run.
So give me your tip. What's your tip?
Wash your face at least after you run.
Why?
So you don't get pimples. You could just take a shower so you don't smell, but if you don't have time, then just wash your face.
Wash your face. That's a good tip because I realized the error of my ways in sitting around in my wet stuff after running. You got to get out of it real fast or it does bad things to your skin, right? Yeah. Oop, there's the engines. Hope it's not our dog. They're picking up off the road.
So that's it. Episode 18 in the can. Hey, special birthday podcast dedication to my young daughter who has turned 14 today. And we love her very much. She's a bright light in our life. So dog came home. He was a little worse for wear, though. Tore up his foot on wherever he went on his thunderstorm jaunt last night. Also did the 12 miles with Helena today after we spoke. And that was fun. I appreciate her humor in me. And I think she's going to be a great local runner. So that's it. I think next week I'm going to be down in Vegas. It's going to be another crazy week. And I'm going to get out on the strip, do some running in the morning. I've been to Vegas a bunch of times. I don't gamble and I don't drink and I don't womanize, so it's difficult for me to do anything except work down there, so I run on the strip anyhow. But we have a business thing going on, so I typically don't have a lot of free time. But I have a schedule. I think I'm going to talk with Dave Kamir next week, which is another one of the founders of Cool Running. I think it's almost a wrap now. I'll get Steve Mullen. That'll be it. It'll be a wrap. That'll be all the Cool Running guys. And he's owns a local timing company. Pretty cool guy. And what else? Looks like you get an extra bonus 10 minutes today. We went a little long, but this was all good stuff, so I hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you out there. We're going to close with music, interesting music, again with my eclectic taste. The band is called the Lascivious Biddies, and the song is called Odd Bird. And we will see you out there.
People I've met, strangest duck in the pond, oddest bird in the nest. How did I get caught? You wear your grandfather's pants with ties that are much too bold, yet you walk with a bounce in your step. Oblivious. Though you may be quirky, it's strangely working on me. You make the rest of them wonder, but you just make me smile. Like so many other men, you tell a good dirty joke, you get drunk now and again. It's not tobacco that you smoke.
To the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.